Blog Talk Radio.
AVS Media Demo.
Good evening, to each and every one of you. You are listening to The Drive at 5 Live, and I am your weekly host, Patricia McDowell, from the great city of Yonkers. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to The Drive at 5 Live. And each week, we will discuss health and wellness. We will guide you to the road to a better and healthy lifestyle with beneficial results. Before we call upon our fantastic guests, let's talk about a little bit about our friends of the Drive at 5 Live. Avon, it's not your grandmother's company anymore. This is the company that puts mascara on lashes and food on tables, that fight wrinkles with one hand and breast cancer with the other, that knows the value of a perfect lip, but still opens its mouth and speak out against domestic violence and for women's financial independence. This is the company that not only brings beauty to doors, but also opens them. The company that supports 6 million representatives in over 100 countries. This is Avon, the company that for 125 years has stood for beauty, innovation, optimism, and above all for women. Avon began offering women the opportunity to be the CEO of their own businesses and control their economic destiny. To become an Avon representative or simply to order Avon products, call 914-447-1089. That's 914-447-1089. Jewels by Elan. Do you know about the new Jewels in Yonkers? It's Jewels by Elan. Jewels by Elan is now exclusively on the World Wide Web. You can browse the website at your comfort of your home or office. If you are looking for fabulous jewelry for every occasion, visit the website at www.jewelsbyelan.com. That's jewelsbyelan.com. Or call 914-512-8578. That's 914-512-8578. Lifestyle dream vacation in the unique Dominican Republic. Imagine a place with 1,000 miles of pristine beaches overlooking a crystalline turquoise sea. Excuse me, a place where the midday siesta is still a time-honored tradition, and the free-spirited merengue is the national dance of choice. Unhurried, unencumbered, and unbelievably liberating from day cares and stress. This is the lifestyle holiday vacation resort in the enchanted Dominican Republic. An all-inclusive vacation experience reserved with you in mind. You will enjoy gourmet restaurants and al fresco buffet dining, unwind at the private access beach club and with attentive services, experience live entertainment shows, beach parties extravaganza, exciting casino nightlife, and so much more. Added in world-class golf, water sports, and endless island adventures, this is the lifestyle you deserve. This is the website at www.lifestylevacation.com. That's Lifestyle Dream Vacation. Artist International, Lviv Juice, the super health drink, the most amount of antioxidants that you maintain in your body is directly proportionally to how long you will live. This is quoted by Dr. Richard Cutter, former doctor, director of the National Institute of Aging in Washington, D.C. The power of the top six antioxidant-producing fruit has been concentrated in one product that has a great taste, and it's called the LaVie juice. They have cranberry, pomegranate, noni fruit, goji berry, mangosteen, and acai berry. The LaVie juice is an organic product that is inviting and enticing with a great tasting fruity drink juice blend that is a great deal for the entire family. So, to learn more about it, go to www.bodymagic2go.com. That's www.bodymagic2go.com. The Awakening Fair. The Awakening Fair is going to be Saturday, April 16th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Doubletree Tarrytown Hotel. Our area's biggest wellness fair and marketplace is your opportunity to learn about the cutting edge of wellness of the body, mind, and spirit. Learn about the wellness that starts with an attitude of gratitude, living green, being lean, and maintaining a peaceful core in a world that often challenges our serenity. And it's a great place to shop for Mother's Day, Father's Day, communions, graduations, and etc. You'll find these unique gift that shows thoughtfulness and awareness. So I hope that each and every one of you will support our friends of the Drive at 5 Live, and we have some long-time supporters, as you all well know. Well, I have such a treat for you. Our next guest is Brett Cutter. He's the owner and the founder of Stress Is Gone, and he has been operating this business for more than 10 years, and he has 10 years of experience in personal and group stress relief therapy, and he's located in the Westchester area, and he has worked with end-of-life care, amputees, and cancer patients, inner-city youth, and also the homeless. He conducts coaching sessions by phone around the world, and he holds a bachelor's degree in psychology. He's a member of the Psy Chin and Golden Key National Honor Societies. So his website is www.stressisgone.com. That's StressIsGone.com. And I'm going to welcome Brett to the radio call. So let's get him on the line. Are you there? Hi, are you there, Brett?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Great.
Oh, great.
Wonderful to have you on the show. We are so excited. I know that you're going to share such great information with my listeners. So before we move on, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you.
So I was born and raised in Queens. And then I went to school at SUNY Albany, where I studied psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And then upon graduation, I took a sales position in Manhattan, and that company relocated me to California to take on a management role. And while I was living in California for about 4 years, I really immersed myself into different holistic practices like meditation, Chinese energetic medicine, and a bunch of other things. So I really was interested in instant stress relief, and that's what brought about, or part of what brought about Stress Is Gone. Really, I've done some research and really tried to do my best to boil down the common denominators that would help people let go of stress efficiently, easily, whenever they wanted to, where they wouldn't have to search outside themselves to find an answer or to resolve their stress. And now I'm back on the East Coast, living in New York. I spent a lot of time in Manhattan and Westchester and Rockland County and Long Island.
You've had such a journey to get you to the point where you are right now. Tell me, now, one of the things I noticed that you said in your bio, and I was trying to read without my glasses, so that was an adventure, that you do phone consultations. Do you also do one-on-one, face-to-face as well?
Yeah, what I found was that people that would try to make the appointments and, you know, getting ready to leave, taking either a subway or their car, traveling for an hour, actually added to a lot of the stress. So mm-hmm. what I do is I speak to people over the phone for the last, let's say, 5, 6, or 7 years, and what I found was that people can be much more relaxed laying down on their couch or in their bedroom, and I could reach people in Japan, in Iraq, anywhere in the world. So that's what I found works the best and connects me with more people and helps people really feel safe and comfortable and doesn't add extra stress.
So now, when you say stress be gone, how many sessions does it really take for a person to try to work out some of the stress that they have? And, you know, so, and I think there's people who walk around and don't even know they are stressed.
Yeah, there's generalized anxiety disorder where you're kind of like always just operating with a low level or medium level of anxiety. You could see a lot of those people, their eyes are usually very wide open and they always look a little bit stressed. But in general, as far as the type of person that I would typically work with is someone that's under some type of heavy stress. So that could be some type of life change has recently taken place. So they may have lost a loved one. They may have gotten laid off from their job. They may have to move due to financial changes in their life. So it could be a number of things. It could also be things that have built up over time that they kind of approach a breaking point. So the typical person I work with is under a lot of stress. And what I do is help them address some of the earlier issues that have built up over the years that really make the current stress much more intense and make it more difficult to make a sound decision that would make your life a little bit easier. So I help people go into those old experiences in the past, you know, those previous memories that were very stressful, and we go in there and we kind of step by step resolve and balance the emotional energy that is held in those memories and inside the body and inside the subconscious mind. So once we do that, then we could start to address the present stress, the stuff that's going on every day.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nutshell, that's what I would do with somebody in our coaching plan. Our coaching plan is an 8-week plan where we talk once a week for a half hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By the fourth session, we pretty much have gone through the key experiences in a person's past and balanced them out. And then what I do in the second half of the coaching plan is really teach them the skills so that they could handle their stress real effectively in the future. So teaching them how to use their breath and focus their mind to unwind the tension in the body the second they get stressed. So that might take 30 seconds to do that. And then they can make a clear decision and really respond to the situation consciously instead of reacting the way they used to.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Okay.
Oh, so the purpose of the coaching plan is really to be at peace with the past so you can consciously respond to the present moment, no matter what reality is showing you.
So once you work with a person who has stress in their life, you as well as the client has identified that they indeed have stress and you work through that stress process of eliminating or handling or maintaining the stress. Is there any kind of exercise that they should do even after they stop working with you?
That's a great question. very early on in the coaching plan, I send them a document, and anyone could have this document if they email me at brett@stressisgone.com. It's a PDF document. It's called the real-time technique. And inside the real-time technique is an assessment tool and is another tool called the balance breath. And that helps people resolve those subconscious memories, those older repressed memories that cause a lot of stress. And people practice that twice a day, when you wake up in the morning and then when you go to sleep at night. And this is a great way to go to sleep. It clears your head, and it also resolves the tension in your body and balances the emotional energy inside those old memories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the biggest thing that I have people practice. And it's as simple as laying down, touching the tension in your body, thinking of a past memory that was from childhood or from any point in your life that was really traumatic, and breathing nice and slowly, taking silky smooth breaths into that tension, and mentally saying, "I'm okay," once per breath until the tension goes away. So you would just do that in the privacy of your own home, in a safe environment, mm-hmm. and it kind of reprograms the memories and all the energy inside those memories, because that's really what's fueling the reactions that we have today. It fuels the intensity of the reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have people practice on a daily basis. And over time, it's pretty miraculous what happens. In my body, when I get stressed, I can sense the chemicals starting before the environment shows me what's really going to stress me out. So you become very intuitive and in tune with your own body. So you feel the stress start to happen before it actually happens in reality. And when you get that much of a jump on the stress reaction, you can pull the plug on it before it forces you to overreact and cause more chaos in the situation.
When should a person? Well, first of all, let me ask you, what is the health risk that a person would have when they have stress and they don't deal with it?
I would say the worst thing that could happen is death. I was doing a radio show with Stacey Grant, and she said a coworker of her husband's 2 weeks ago that was 42 years old, dropped dead on the job, and it was due to stress. So 85% of our disease, our illnesses, and our doctor's appointments come from stress-related symptoms. So as far as an unmanaged stress reaction, the research from London has stated that that is more toxic to our body than smoking cigarettes and eating high cholesterol foods.
Wow.
So what happens in a nutshell, you have 1,400 chemical reactions going on throughout your body, and a lot of which are toxic for our cells and force our cells in certain areas to really shut down. So the key is opening those cells back up. And that, in a nutshell, is what I help people do.
Open up those cells.
Open up those cells, especially in the area of tension, because that's where the memories of stress live in your body. Most people get tense in their chest area when they think of a past memory, like around the heart or in their stomach. Some people feel tension between their shoulder blades or in their neck, in their head. Those are all areas that are storing memories and emotions from the past.
When you had talked about, when you speak of the past, are you also talk about past lives, experience as well?
That's a great question. I work typically with this lifetime. That's, I would say, 99.9% of my work is based on this lifetime. I do, work in corporations, and I keep my work very focused on the body, the tension you could feel in the body, and what is very real and present to everyday life. And when you get into a past life conversation, now you bring up certain religious ideologies, certain areas that just aren't as grounded as the physical human body. everyone who's alive now has a physical human body, and we could all correlate to feelings, and we all have a past since the day we were born. So the work that I do, I keep it boiled down and simple so that anyone could digest it, whether you're male, female, 10 years old, 70 years old, you know, Buddhist, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, whatever. I try to make it so that it's an umbrella that's very wide that people can accept.
Now, when dealing with stress, I know you mentioned the stress, like stress on jobs and this and that and the other, but isn't it true that also there's stress within the home that
Absolutely.
Also needs to be dealt with? And so when there's stress in the home, do you bring the whole family together to work out the stress?
That's a great question. To me, most of everyone's stress that I've worked with and doing classes in corporations, it always shows me that it goes back to the inner family, the family structure we grew up in. Now, some of us didn't grow up with a family. We may have grown up in, you know, foster care and an orphanage, but that environment that you grew up in as a child, as a young child, as a young teen, that's where a lot of these patterns set in place. So when I go into corporations, one of the first questions I ask is, where's your stress coming from? And everyone raises their hand and, you know, to say, you know, work stress. You know, my stress comes from this place, this job. And then we do a little bit of an assessment. And I say, okay, what were you thinking the last time that you were really stressed at work? And they tell me their thoughts. And then I'd say, okay, what were you feeling? What emotion? They tell me their emotion. And they say, when's the first time you ever had that thought and that emotion together? And it all goes back to the home, their original home, the one they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that if you go on the paper trail and you really try to track the roots down of stress, that's where it leads to. So I usually go to the source. You know, one of our kind of corporate taglines is resolving stress from the source.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. You know, we go deep as possible. That's safe and acceptable for the person I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it in a safe, loving way where we do go to that stress within the home. Now, if you fast forward that to the present moment, I work with a lot of people and their family members. I would say most of my clients are individuals, but I also do work with, you know, children, husbands, wives, parents. Stress is almost like a dance when you look at it from the home. You know, if you have a husband and wife, you know, arguing over finances for years, it's the same argument. It's like they're doing a tango together, only it doesn't feel good. So it takes one person to break the chain. So it's not necessary that I have to deal with the husband or the other person, you know, the wife. It just takes one person to become aware, to become conscious, and put up a healthy boundary to break up that dance. And say, hold on, I'm just a little bit tired and I want to make a good decision. Give me 5 minutes. Let's turn the music off for just a second and find some stillness, and then make a decision 5 minutes later on the next step. So it all does boil down to the home. Healthy boundaries is how you can break up stress in your home. It throws a monkey wrench into the whole dynamic and that whole karmic dance between two people or three people or four people. And it's as simple as holding up your hand and saying stop in a very gentle, loving way. Cultures around the world understand what the stop sign means when you hold up your palm. So when you show someone, whether they're Italian, Irish, you know, African American, Caucasian, everyone pretty much in America will know what that means. It means stop.
Mm.
When you throw it up in a calm, loving, gentle way, it slows down the situation and the person understands.
Mm.
That's the first step of a healthy boundary. Stopping the situation. Over time, it's almost like you become a crossing guard, like when you were a little kid going to school and there was a crossing guard.
Mm.
You know, stopping this side, letting people go here, stopping something else over there, and then moving on. It's almost like you're directing traffic so you don't get run over by stress in your own house. And there's many other levels to implementing healthy boundaries in your household, but that's the first key. being able to put the brakes on the situation before it gets out of control, seeing it start early.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that easily done, I should say, when you are the head of the household?
Can be done from anyone. Anyone can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can do this. Children can do this. Adults can do this. People with disabilities can do this.
Very, very interesting.
What I help people do is build the confidence inside themselves. And we imagine, you know, them a Mack truck coming at them and then gently holding up their stop sign, their hand, and stopping that truck dead in its tracks. Getting the inner power to be able to do that without being scared. That's the key, not being scared.
Very, 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 very interesting. You mentioned children, and I know that with the internet and social, Facebook, and they talked about today on News 12, you know, our children are facing so many. They're really feeling stress because of their social environment. You know, the willingness to belong to a crowd, belong to a group. Or what are they saying about me as a person? What can be done? First of all, do you feel as though children today are encountering more stress? And what can we do as parents to help them through this?
That's a great question. I feel today kids are being exposed to an experiencing probably an apex of stress. You know, if you look at the last couple hundred years in our country, fitting in is an amazing challenge. You know, seeking acceptance from people outside yourself is an amazing challenge. It's almost a hill you can never climb. So what I talk to kids and I'm working with children is feeling that acceptance that they're okay and that they're great and that they're special from within themselves. So when you cultivate that feeling, it starts to grow. And it doesn't matter if someone outside of yourself doesn't believe it. They just don't know yet. So you could stop them with your stop sign and then move on. The key is being like water. And Bruce Lee talked about this. Being like water. So if you see an obstacle step in front of you, look at it, get close, like the water does around a rock. It gets close to that rock, and then it moves around it and finds open space on the other side and continues on in the direction it was originally going in. So if the water is moving south, it's going to continue moving south around rocks, right? So it's not going to get, you know, blown off course, which a lot of times with stress and trying to fit in, we get blown off course. We get embarrassed. We have to run out. You know, sit with the feelings a little bit. Breathe into them. Breathe some life into those feelings and into that tension. And it takes time. But rolling it back to parents, I can remember countless conversations when I was a young child of my mother, almost with tears in her eyes, saying how special she felt that she had me as a son.
Wow.
And I do this to my son now, who's 5 and a half, because I know what that feeling is. And it's that feeling that, yes, you're special. So when someone else outside of me in the real world out there says, you're not special, in fact, you're a jerk, I don't need to take it in and let it ruin my day. Because my cells understand something else, another truth. I can let them have their opinion and move on. I can move around that rock.
So
rolling it back to parents, I think in general, just to, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think parents hold the key to our future and our reality and their kids' reality.
By giving them self-worth by early on.
By stepping up their own game as parents.
Mm-hmm.
By not being caught in survival. I mean, most of our parents and, you know, a lot of listeners, everyone has money problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the biggest stresses that kids face today in high school is contributing to their parents' financial situation. A lot of them have already taken on that financial stress and have taken on jobs so they can contribute to the family's financial success and ability to survive. So on top of academics, on top of scholastics and sports, on top of fitting in, now they have all the job stress that you know their parents have. So I think parents stepping up their own game and not being so overwhelmed with survival and actually thinking about the messages that they are giving their kids. You know, our children are sponges. So understanding what they're soaking up from us, I think, is a key. And if your kids see you stressed out all day long or all night long, that's what you're making. You're making a little stress monster, right? So for me, just playing music, a lot of times I will have my clients play music in the home that their kids mm-hmm. like and mm-hmm. dance with the kids. And if they're watching TV, I say, I'm not a big proponent of TV, but if you are going to watch TV with your kids, at least be on the couch with them and touch your mm-hmm. children as you're watching TV so everyone can feel each other. Mm. So if you're a mom with three kids, you know, have your foot touch your youngest, you know, have your arm around the oldest, and, you know what I mean, make sure everyone's being touched.
Mm. Mm-hmm. How about pregnancy? A mother that's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Does she transfer her stress onto her unborn child?
I feel it's cells, right? So if you have a cell inside of a body, the cell's going to take on the vibrations of what the body is experiencing. So emotions and patterns and, you know, the cells get used to those things. But that's not to say that the child that comes up through that has to act or, you know, react the same exact way. They might be a little bit more prone to those reactions. So when they see their parents act, their cells, when they see their parents overreact, their cells are already used to that energy and they fall right into it. So I think it's very important for mothers that are pregnant to listen to music they like, to soothe their stomach as much as possible, mm-hmm. and to manage their stress reaction and manage their stress levels. And if it's a matter of just laying down, telling yourself that you can do that. You know, a lot of people get into this thought, I have to, I have to, I have to. And even myself, with working on Stress Is Gone and different projects, whenever I caught myself saying I have to do this, I was always stressed out of my mind. Whenever I said I want to do this, my stress would disappear. So the mind can be an ally of yours if you practice using it in a way that will relieve your own stress. So ways of perceiving things, just telling myself I want to do this tells my body, well, I'm going to do something that I want to do. So my body experiences more openness and more freedom. When I say I need to do this, my body thinks I don't have something that I want. When I say I need it, so I get into more survival mode, more scarcity consciousness, which is more stress.
Very, very interesting. And just the power of words can help you manage your stress, which is very interesting. Very, very interesting.
It's amazing. There's a book from a doctor from Japan. And what he did was he took water and he would place labels on the water. He would write the word peace on the water. Then he would write war on the water. He did this with a bunch of different things, love, fear, hate. And what he found was that when he froze the water, the molecular structure of the water was very uniform and very symmetrical and really kind of pretty with the words such as love, peace, acceptance. Then when you looked at the molecular structure of the frozen water molecules of war, hatred, anger, it would be morphed. It was like you took these pretty molecular structures and then almost took like an eraser and kind of broke it up, and there would be big gaps in it. So when I was looking at this guy's book, I actually saw him speak in Manhattan a number of years ago. Really amazing man. I said, wow, we have so much water in our bodies. I wonder what our thoughts do to that water. And how that impacts our stress, our emotions, everything. So what I found was that the mind and how we perceive certain things can create or eliminate stress. The first step of a stress reaction is perceiving danger. Because that's our body's fight or flight reaction that kicks in. So in order for that reaction to kick in, which is our stress reaction, which has been happening for, you know, over 200 million years, or 200,000 years, that only happens when we perceive danger. So really the first step is clearing up how we perceive things. You know, because our boss put, you know, a lot of work on our desk that day, are we really in danger of being fired? Are we really in danger of not having money? Are we really in danger of losing our house? Or is that just a subconscious fear that is bubbling up and creating chaos in our body and in our mind and at our job? You know, can you just take a walk for 2 minutes, breathe, say you're okay, and then go back to your desk and finish up your job? Maybe you work a little bit late that night.
Very, very, very interesting. How does stress start?
For me, with my own body, I found that it starts when I have a perception of some danger. So I'm experiencing the world, I'm in the world, I'm in the environment, anywhere in the world, and I see something, and my brain receives that data as danger. And says, okay, my body's in danger now. Now my body, my living cells, go into that program of fight or flight, which is a preset program of reactions. And it's our body overriding our mind to find a solution. The body is very intelligent. It practically has a mind of its own. It's like a plant or a weed that knows how to survive, that knows how to lean towards the sun. Our cells are super intelligent. So when we get stressed, it's almost like those cells don't trust our decisions as much, and they take over. That's why we get flooded with thoughts and emotions. It's our body is pushing it all up to our awareness, to our mind. So to answer your question in the simplest form, I would say stress starts with a perception of danger.
And then we have to know how to handle or refocus our mind to avoid or change the thought pattern of the danger.
Well, the key here is applying that breathing technique that I spoke about earlier. When we were talking about that breathing technique in the coaching program, that's
right.
Called the balance breath, right? So people practice it twice a day, in the morning and at night, and they resolve those old painful memories from the past so that when their stress comes up in the present moment, they can pull on that experience of practicing. It's almost like practice makes perfect. You practice that same breath, breathing into the stress, breathing into the tension. Now, I do this with, you know, clients that are 10 years old and 70 years old. It works. If you have a human body, it works. So you touch the tension in the moment that you are stressed in your body. So if you have tension in your chest, you just touch your chest nice and easy. You breathe into it. And silently say, once per breath, I'm okay, until the tension goes away. And that stress, you'll feel it unwind out of your body. Just takes a few minutes. And the more you do it, the quicker it happens. So after a couple of months of practicing this, you might feel yourself starting to get stressed, and you don't even need to take the time to touch your body to, you know, do that. You might just be able to take in a deep breath, and all of a sudden the stress was unwound from your body, and you could move on. Practice is really the key, and breathing. So understanding how much power your breath holds and how much power your mind has, when you breathe and think a thought at the same time into the tension, it's like you're introducing the past to the present with the power of your breath and your mind. And the truth is, unless you're staring at a bear in the woods or, you know, you're about to get hit by a bus or whatever, God forbid, the truth is that you are okay and that these things do work out in the end. So once your body starts to feel that as you breathe it in, I am okay, your cells calm down. The intelligence in your cells receives what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and it reacts. Mm. So you know how people say that, you know, your mind creates your future or your mind manifests things? I believe that to be true, but it also can manifest in your body. So if you're thinking a positive thought and you're breathing it into your body listens for that and reacts accordingly.
Mm. So in essence, we, in a way, we're almost our own worst enemy.
Or our own best mechanic. Or our own best ally, right?
I like that.
Or our own best ally, you know? It depends on how you look at it. It's a thing of perception.
Oh, I like that. I like that. What about diet? Does diet play into this also
mm-hmm.
when dealing with stress? And if so, how?
Well, I know for me, if I'm going through a period of heavy stress, if I'm drinking regular coffee, and I'm eating a lot of sugar in my diet, then it's pretty difficult for me to calm down my heart rate and to get back to a place of calmness.
Mm-hmm.
So I always recommend if you're under, if you're going through a time of heavy stress, cut out mm-hmm. the caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see if you could find some decaffeinated chai tea that can substitute for your coffee, or at least drink decaffeinated coffee in the maximum one cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would also highly recommend as much fruits and vegetables as possible. A lot of salads, you know, nuts and seeds, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The living cells that you ingest help our living cells. So if you eat a cucumber, right, that's ripe and ready to be eaten,
mm-hmm.
it's more healthy for our cells. If we eat something that's dead, you know, let's say a steak that is cooked, right, tastes good, but we're ingesting, you know, dead cells. So we're introducing our live cells to dead cells. So it's not as good for our body. That's why it takes a longer time to digest it. So if we want to really help our bodies resolve stress, we want to strengthen our cells the best we can with other living cells. So that's just what I found from myself when I've gone through periods of heavy stress.
Mm.
So in a nutshell, I would decrease caffeine and sugar the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I still drink coffee today. You know, it's mostly decaf.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we should all learn from you and watch what we eat, particularly when we're stressed and not stressed.
And what I always tell people is learn from yourself. You know, be an observer in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
If you are stressed and you're like, you know what, I'm going to get a venti, you know, latte, see how your body reacts. Notice how you feel for the next 3 hours. Are you jittery? Are you shaking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't want to shake, then don't get the venti, right? Get a tall and get the caffeine and see how you feel after that.
Mm-hmm.
Play with it and observe it. And find what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key, finding what works for you. So it works for me, might not work for someone else.
This is true, very true. And what about exercising as it relates
That's,
to stress?
Especially if you're going through heavy stress, exercise can be a saving grace, even if it's for 15 minutes. I think exercise and music are really, really important. And exercise becomes fun when you're moving to music in a way that you want to. So if you're listening to some of your favorite songs in the morning, right after you get out of the shower, and you move for 15 minutes, that sets up your day for so much success, because before you even left the house, you're feeling great, your body's open, and you're receptive to good things happening because you already set it in motion, and you're taking action in your life. You're taking action to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
In a healthy way. You know, some people feel really good after they, you know, walking into a bar or having a cigarette. But when you do things that feel good, that are healthy for your body, it takes it to a whole different level, because there's no repercussion the next day on a cellular level.
Well, how do you determine, or one would determine, stress versus depression?
To me, they're similar. In an essence of, we're shutting down. You know, when you get stressed, your cellular walls thicken. So we kind of like hunker down and protect ourselves, even on a cellular level. When I think of someone that's depressed, I think of someone in a bed that has the sheets and the covers over their head, and they don't want to get out. They don't want to leave. They don't want to embrace life. They don't want to experience life. So they're shutting down. So to me, depression comes from a lot of built-up stress, which goes into those repressed memories.
Mm-hmm.
So depression to me is, built-up long-term anger and sadness,
mm-hmm.
and finally just gets overwhelmed. It gets overwhelming, and you don't want to live. You don't want to be in life. So this cloak comes over you in the mm-hmm. form of your blankets or your comforter, and you don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've seen help break people out of that, and that worked for myself, was expressing it, was expressing my feelings, writing it down, and knowing in the back of my mind that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a point a few years back where I was going through depression,
mm-hmm.
and there was about a 3-week period where I was crying a lot. And what I had said in the back of my mind every couple of minutes was, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped get me through that. That was like a little beacon of light in the back of my mind,
mm-hmm.
that very gently and softly said, I'm okay, even though my body was releasing these deep tears.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I was using my mind to help me find some type of peace in all this chaos I was experiencing in life. And eventually, I stayed consistent with that thought that I'm okay, and it won. Eventually, all the emotions for that time passed. So depression to me really stems from older events that have built up, where the emotional memory was still entrenched in sadness and overwhelm, and sometimes anger. And sometimes that gets the best of us. You know, we don't have a guiding light to get us through those things. Sometimes those experiences overwhelm us eventually and get the best of us. But the best of you is deep inside of you, and you could use your mind to find it. So what I usually do when people are depressed that I'm coaching is we slowly but surely introduce music that they love,
mm-hmm.
and I get them to move. And it starts just for one song a day. And that's all their homework is for that day. Just a little bit of movement to one of their old favorite songs, and that's the start. That's like throwing the monkey wrench into their whole depressive cycle. Because their depression's like, oh my God, what's going on now? This person's moving and they're hearing music that they love.
Mm-hmm.
They must not be depressed anymore. So we slowly integrate that, because it is a challenge to get out of bed when you're depressed, or to shower and to do the things that everyone does when,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're in life. So we take it one baby step at a time. But the key is expression. Saying what your feelings are, writing them down, all the experiences that you've been in your life that you could remember that were sad, that led you to feel depressed, that made you angry, just writing it all down and then getting it out.
You know, I think that's something that people just don't do as much anymore. Some people are now doing it maybe in the form of a blog, but you know, years ago, people used to have diaries, and then they had
mm-hmm.
little secret diaries where they would put to the side or hide in the bed or wherever they would keep them. And there they would, express their concerns, their needs, their wants, their dissatisfactions or whatever. And I don't think people do that as much as we used to, especially when we were young kids. Do you think that's one of the reasons why people seem to be more stressed today, because we don't do things like we did back then, like write diaries?
There's a bunch of things that I think people did in the past that we're not doing now that leads to more stress. One is communicating. So when you say writing something down, you're actually communicating in some form. You know, your eyes are seeing the words written down.
Mm-hmm.
Before you wrote it down, those thoughts just spin in your head and those feelings just fester in your body. But you actually write them down. Now you put them into reality. Or if you talk about it with a friend or a loved one, you know, a grandmother, or whoever, if you talk to someone about it, that helps immensely. I think one of the big keys is that we're looking for quick fix solutions rather than just talking to somebody. Such a big key to stress relief is expressing the stress. That's part of the work that I do. I call it a stress expression, where you actually say what is stressing you out, and then you talk about the memory where it came from. And you're actually giving it an outlet. It's almost like a volcano that's now has an outlet. You know, you have all that lava building up for years, decades, and all of a sudden it blows its top. So what we do is we gently take the top off in a safe way and just let it start to vent and let it start to leave. Now you have a big mountain being your body with this open space in it. Now you could put whatever you want in that open space, where the anger, where the sadness was. You could put in joy, a painting class, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do when you were younger. So I would say communication is something that we need more of today that would eliminate, you know, make a big dent in stress if people talked more. People got more involved in the lives of people around them. You know, I know when I was growing up, there was always 15, you know, to 20 kids on my block playing. You know, all the parents looked out for all the kids. It's very rare to see that.
Yeah.
People weren't afraid to tell another parent something about their child. Today everyone shuts their mouth. No one's going to tell a parent something that they see, or it's rare. I do a lot of work, which is going to begin to start very soon, for bullies and kids that are being bullied in school. And we're putting together a program, which is also on our blog. It's called The Drag and Stop, which helps kids that are being bullied set up a boundary between themselves and bullies that they feel really strong with, and it's all based on body language. So a lot of those problems stem from home. You know, a child not feeling confident enough to do that on their own, and then also the bully. It's not a spontaneous thing that happens when a bully comes into school and does that. It's usually some anger or some abuse somewhere stemming from the home environment. So the biggest problem that I've found is the parents that have kids that are bullies are not stepping up as parents and making the corrections in their children's behavior because they don't know how to address it, and they are in denial of it, or they'll make excuses for it, or they think it's acceptable. Whatever the reasoning is.
Sometimes they're afraid of their own kids.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said sometimes they are afraid of their own kids.
Yes, absolutely. So again, it's stepping up our game as parents from when a child is young. And I think at any point in your life, you can step it up as a parent, no matter how old your children is, no matter how old your kids are.
My mother certainly believed that.
You know, my mother's always changing. It's amazing. You know, there's some parts of her that remain the same, which are great qualities that I love, and then there's things that she'll surprise me in. And she always has wisdom for me in the right moment.
I like this, in the right moment.
Yeah. Because sometimes you just, you know, I won't listen to things. You know, like, it's just like if someone is stressed out, you know, and you try to give them that piece of information that you know will help. But if they are not receptive, it won't work, no matter how good the advice is. So my mom has a pretty good knack for doing that in the right moment.
Well,
yeah.
it's almost time for a close. I believe it's almost 6 o'clock. So can you give us some closing words, some advice, and also can you also end by giving your contact information and repeating possibly twice?
Sure. The next time you're stressed, just touch the tension in your body and breathe into it for 2 minutes. Then silently say, "I'm okay." until all the stress and the tension goes away, and then move on. So that's all I would like to do. That's the simplest message and the simplest thing you could practice. And the other thing to practice is when you're going to bed and when you're waking up, just take an extra 5 minutes and breathe into that area that houses tension for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just focus your mind on that area and just breathe some life into that area. You could even imagine the breath is going right into the tension and unwinding it. Mm-hmm. So those two things are really key if you want to change how much stress affects your life. And you could start affecting the stress that's in your life and cutting it down smaller and smaller and smaller. You could reach me at Brett, B-R-E-T-T, at stressisgone.com, and the website is www.stressisgone.com, and our blog site is stressisgone.com/WordPress, and there's a lot of tools on the blog. So I encourage you to, you know, go on there, download whatever tools you want, and use them. We also have a few products that are coming out very soon to carry in your wallet that'll help you remember how to let go of stress.
Wonderful, wonderful. No, I see people carry those little ball things that they
mm-hmm.
roll, you know, they roll between their fingers. Do those
mm-hmm.
things really work to help relieve stress?
Anything you think will work will work. So that if those balls are calming to you, then do it and it'll be calming. Anything that is calming to you will work. Anything you think will work will work. Anything you think that will not work will not work.
Very, very interesting. Well, Brett, thank you so much once again for agreeing to be a part of my show, and I hope that we can get you on the show at another date, maybe a little later on in the year.
That'll be great.
And I hope that you enjoy your evening.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on, Pat. It was great.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, we had another fantastic day of knowledge with the help of Brett, who is with Stress Is Gone. And I hope that each and every one of you will, really start to look at stress, because stress, as we know, is really one of the number one killers and in our society. And as you would think, as we become more computer we become more familiar with computers, that we would, in fact, have less stress, and it seems as though that is not the case. We have more stress, and as I mentioned before, you know, I saw in the news today in our local area, Channel 12, where children are more depressed because they're stressed out because these social media, like Facebook. So, you know, if you have kids, particularly teenagers, you know, parents, look at your kids and see if they're stressed, because sometimes we associate stress only within adults, but our children are also crying out for help as well. So, really pay attention to our children. Take note of our spouses. Sometimes, you know, a lot of our households are in trouble because, you know, they don't understand that the spouse is under some kind of stress that they may not be able to communicate at that time. So, you know, just be mindful. And as a family, extended, or rather your blood family, you know, try to do things that are stress-free. You know, go out and dance. Go out and take walks and jog, as a doctor had said. Listen to some music. Even go to bed. Yeah, everybody has an iPod. Put your iPod in the docking system and play some light music as you go out and go to sleep. So try to put these things in practice, and hopefully that you have a stress-free week. And I look forward in talking with you next week, which will be the first week in April. And some of you may know, the first week of April is, or the whole month of April is Child Abuse Month, National Child Abuse Month. So hopefully we'll have someone on sometime within the month to talk about that issue as well. Okay, until then, everyone, thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.